Sometimes the enemy will come just before you do something for the Lord to distract you. And so I've had a lot of distraction this week, like everybody else. I've thought I was going one direction with one of my company, then another direction, and now another direction, and now tomorrow, another direction, because what I originally wanted to go work for Care Hospice came through. I will be going to Alpha and Omega transitioning as of tomorrow. So the other company I went and interviewed for, it was really weird because they're in Weatherford, what Alpha and Omega's in Weatherford, but I got a call on Thursday saying, hey, Pastor Mike, Care just switched you from Envoy Hospice to Fort Worth to Alpha and Omega. So they're actually giving me 30 patients tomorrow. So God is good, right? So God is good. So whatever I gave up from Fort Worth, I just inherited them all back. So God is faithful, right? So the reason I said that is because I never focus on Jesus. And so it's very easy, church, to get distracted from where God has taken you. The enemy, you know, in John 10:10, he says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Some will say, have life and have it more abundantly. And just because we're in this world doesn't mean we're not going to face tribulation. And sometimes the enemy, watch this, church, he will send distractions to get you off course of what he has for you. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We pray, Lord, that it will fall on good ground. Those online this morning, those listening by the way of YouTube or Roku or our website or by Facebook Live, we pray that it'll be a word in season and that someone's life will be changed, not by me, but by the very presence of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was looking at a couple of scriptures this week. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, here it is, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, someone say, let us lay aside every weight, here it is, someone say, every weight or distraction, that's what it talks about, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, here it is, the race that is set before us. Someone say, you got to run. You got to keep going. Now look at this. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto who? Your pocketbook? Your job? No, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, here it is, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and here it is, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, I'm a sports guy. So, I found this sports quote that I thought was very interesting. Who knows who Arnold Palmer is? One of the great golfers in the world, okay? A lot of people don't realize this, but in 1961, he lost a Masters tournament because he missed the shot. And it wasn't a shot that he, and I pulled up on YouTube, I was gonna play it, but I didn't figure y'all want to watch just a ball missing a hole, but I wanted to explain it. And he's made this putt hundreds of times. Just like a kicker who goes up and kicks a 20-yard field goal or an extra point, right, Victor? The mechanics are the same. This particular day, Arnold Palmer lost focus. He got comfortable that he can make the shot because he's made it 100 times. So he wasn't focused, watch this, on the task at hand. So he goes up there and he just doesn't even focus. He just figures he's going to make it. Well, guess what? He missed the putt and lost the 1961 Masters tournament. After the tournament, he's quoted as saying this, you don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and become determined that you'll never do it again. I haven't in the years since. It's okay to make a mistake. But we don't dwell on it. Come on, somebody. Someone say we do better next time. And so we all make the mistake of getting our eyes, watch this church, off of Jesus every now and then. The biggest mistake that we make is taking our eyes off of Jesus. Palmer said that quote, and he went on to win many more Masters tournaments after that. If you know anything about Arnold Palmer, he became one of the greatest golfers in the world from that moment on. The biggest problem that we have today is we take our eyes off of Jesus. So what is the source of our spiritual distraction? What is the source, what helps us or allows us or hinders us to take our eyes off of Jesus? One is we don't lay some stuff aside. Come on, somebody. We get so caught up in everything else that's not productive to the kingdom, and we think we're doing something when really we're not, because, watch this, we all have to stay focused. Someone say, stay focused at the task at hand. Paul says in the writing, in the Hebrew text, he says that, and let's go back to the text for just a moment, he says, looking unto Jesus, but look what he says. We're surrounded by what, guys? Witnesses, right? Other believers. And he tells us, don't get ensnared with the things we're going through. Okay? But he said, let us, what does that say, Anita? Right there. With what? Endurance doesn't mean that it's a fast race. It's a long race. And we have to stay focused on the task at hand. We have to stay focused, here it is, at, someone say, finishing the race, okay? The source of spiritual distraction, you can write it down. I didn't put it on the board, but you can write them down. Number one, being around people that are not going in your same direction. Write that down. Being around people that are not going in your same direction. That can be a distraction. Okay? Number two. Number one was being around people that's not going your same direction. I didn't put them on the board because I want y'all to start writing some stuff. Amen? Number two. This one's important. Looking at everything else instead of God. Number two. Looking at everything else instead of God. Number three, allowing doubt to come in. Someone say, allowing doubt to come in. Let me tell you what doubt does. Doubt will convince you that you can't do it. Doubt will tell you that it's not going to happen. And when we doubt, we will now receive what the world tells us instead of what the Word says. Come on, somebody. So one of those three sources of spiritual distraction are those what we talked about. Now watch this. Many people today, this is so important to the text, church, many people today will allow the enemy to take control of their direction because they submit themselves to the wrong message. Okay? You're never going to change. You're always going to be this way. When I went into that interview, I thought for sure it was a full-time position. And I was going to give up my others. But someone had reminded me, but you spoke it out of your mouth, Pastor Mike. You really want to work for CARE full-time. That's always been my desire. Well, then lo and behold, CARE calls me and says, we can give you some patients in the Weatherford area. And I'm like, but Lord, here's what's funny. I passed by their office when I went to the interview. Both offices, both companies are literally on the same, literally 5 minutes from each other, Elder Ron. And I'm like, Lord, what does this mean? And so we have to understand that God himself knows what he's going to do before we ask of it. Someone say, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts... and not our thoughts. But one of the things, and this is the main focus of the final part of this first life note, is this: pride. Someone say pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. In other words, pride is what the enemy will use to distract you from keeping your eyes on Jesus. This means right here that you puff yourself up or think that you got it all together or think that you are the man or the woman. Okay? Who knows who D.L. Moody is? Who's heard of D.L. Moody? Great speaker, great preacher, great author and everything. I pulled up a quote from him. Says, be humble or you'll stumble. Okay? Someone say, be humble or you'll stumble. In other words, God will show out and show you out and show up if you don't make it about you. If you stay, we don't have to tell everybody what we're doing for Jesus. People will see it in our life. Come on, somebody. You see, the number one trick of the enemy is to try to get you to make it about you when it's not about you. Come on, somebody. He says, be humble. Someone say, be humble, or you'll stumble. Paul, in his writing, said this. Paul said that we lay aside every weight that so easily ensnares us, and we are to lay down, someone say, lay down, everything that'll get us away from Jesus. How many know that anger is real? Someone say, be real. I was angry this morning. I'm not going to lie. I'm not perfect. I will never get behind the sacred desk and say I'm perfect. Something happened to me this morning and I was angry because what was done to me. Okay? Then I had Elder Vic and Elder Ron go out there and talk me down. And say, Pastor, just focus on the word. Okay? See, the enemy will come to try to get you off focus, and I realized that this morning. The enemy will try to get you off focus for what you have to do for the Lord. And I've learned one thing. You can't control anything. Only can you control is what you can do. Someone say, people will be people. And we have to focus, someone say, on the task at hand. I love what he says. Be humble or you'll stumble. We run several races in life, guys. And let me tell you what races they are. We run the race of providing for our family. We run the race of working. We run the race of having a relationship with the Lord. Yeah. What other race do we run? Huh? Whatever else you got going in your life. We have all these races going on in life, and we have all these tasks we have to accomplish. And you don't think that if the enemy doesn't attack you in one part of your life, he's definitely going to attack you in another part. Victor said it best. See, what you don't understand is Victor has a job that time is money. And money is time, right, brother? Because he can only work so many hours a day. So if he loses time with a flat tire or a truck breakdown, and he's always told me, if I'm idle, Pastor, I'm not making any money. Because it's not that they pay him hourly, but the sooner he can get to that destination, drop that load off, he can pick up another load. So if he has an 8-hour delay, 4 hours one time for another, guess what? He's not going to be able to get to another load. So guess what? That load that he was supposed to get paid for, somebody else, they're going to call the dispatcher and say, well, Victor broke down. He's already planning to make more money, but Victor can't go nowhere because he's stuck. There goes his money. He's right. You can't control mechanical problems. And I like what he said. He could have got mad and angry because the boss is going to say, well, you lost this money, Vic. Because she probably budgets for certain things, right? And he didn't get that load. So guess what? He lost money. But he had a good outlook. I was at an exit. Come on, somebody. I was had a place to put the truck. And at that moment, my safety is the most important thing. So God, someone say God. Even in the incident, watch this, provided for my brother. Because one thing I can tell you about Victor, and he'll be preaching here in a couple weeks on the first Sunday, this man has this marketed right here. Sometimes I wish I could be more like Victor, but I know I never will be. You didn't have to agree. Man, I feel you now, brother. Amen. I am the most humble person in my own way. But Victor don't get excited about nothing. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I think I've known Victor 15 years, probably longer than that. Probably close to 20. In 20 years, I can count twice that I've seen his brother get excited or get upset. One was at the bowl, if you remember why. I'm not mentioning names, but you remember that. And the other one, when it happened to me, what happened to me in my personal life. It's only two times Victor's ever got upset and went hood or wanted to go hood. Me, I get upset all the time. And doesn't make me a bad person. Matter of fact, if I start acting like Victor, y'all say, what's wrong with Pastor Mike? Will the real Pastor Mike please show up? Amen? But the thing about it is, staying humble means that you're giving it to the Lord. The Bible said, take your burdens to the Lord. Come on, somebody. And leave it there. One of the most important things that we can learn this morning, church, is when we find the source of spiritual distraction, we can begin to work on what's getting us distracted. There's things in my life that I'm working on right now that I'm going to remove because it has become a hindrance in my personal life with God. We have to find the source, and no matter what the source is, we have, like Victor says, we have to get rid of the source because it's causing distraction. Come on, somebody. Look at this. So, life note number two. Read that, somebody. The source of spiritual defeat. What is causing us not to be able to get into the presence of the Lord and not to be able to worship and magnify? Listen to me. The Bible said that a man's foes would be that of his own household. That's what the Bible says. A man's foes, or his downward, will be that of his own household. So I'm going to say the ones closest to you will affect you. In other words, I heard someone say, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And believe it or not, they're both in the same. Sometimes your friends can be your enemy. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a reason why we suffer spiritual defeat, and I'm going to tell you why. One, you can write this down. I didn't put it on the board because I want y'all to start writing stuff down. One is we don't keep our guard up. Someone say that. Say we don't keep our guard up. If you don't pray, you won't stay. You have to pray, come on, church, about decisions in your life. You have to ask God, what direction do you want me to go in this situation? There is a source of spiritual defeat. And we're living in a society today that we are distracted by a whole lot of things that will draw us away from the Lord. Come on, somebody. Someone say, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. Paul writes this. He says, looking unto Jesus. Someone say, looking unto Jesus. That's it. Not to a church. Not to a pastor. but to Jesus himself. Looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. And here's what it says. Let me ask you something. What if Jesus would have saw what he was about to go through and he didn't want to do it? Before Jesus was crucified, watch this, church. This is a biblical teaching right here. Before Jesus was crucified, he could see people being crucified off into the distance. Someone say he knew his destiny, but he didn't run from his destiny. See, we have a destiny, and we don't have to run from our destiny. I just decided, and the Holy Ghost just hit me this morning when I was out there with Elder Vic and Elder Ron. I must have something coming if the enemy's attacking me this much. Come on, somebody. I must have something coming if the enemy, someone say, if the enemy is attacking this much. Because why? There is, look at this. There is something that's going to distract you. And it's going to be a source of defeat. Watch this. A source of defeat. In other words, we are not perfect. If I stub my toe and it hurts, I'm not going to say thank you, Jesus. I'm home alone. I'll repent. But you don't even look at me like that because trust me, girl, I've heard you before. Amen? Someone say, we're not perfect, but we're getting better. And that's why I want you to understand that we have to become focused on what he has for us because we will be defeated, watch this, church, not by the enemy. Guess what? We blame the enemy for so much, but it's us that defeats ourselves. We want to blame the enemy for everything he's doing, but we make, the devil didn't tell you to make that decision. We're our own worst enemy, church. Pastor Mike, why'd you do that? I don't know, because it felt like it. Then you get mad that the outcome wasn't what you expected. Come on, somebody. Someone say, we all have a mind to make the decision. So here's what he says. Look what he says. Let's go back to this. Let's go back to what he says. He says, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, watch this, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And look what he says. We're surrounded by witnesses. In other words, guys, what you're going through, I guarantee you your brothers and sisters are going through as well. Okay? I got 99 problems, but praising Jesus ain't one of them. We all got problems. Amen? We all got struggles. We all got challenges. But we have to learn to focus on what Alan Palmer said. You don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and become determined that you will never do it again. In the years since, I haven't done it. Okay? So let's go back to this point. The source of our spiritual defeat. Here's what I want you to write down. If you're taking notes online, write this down. Okay? We become what we feed. Come on, somebody. Someone say, we become what we feed. If you feed your flesh, that what comes out the most. Paul said, here's what Paul said. Paul said, what I will to do, I find myself doing in the flesh. But what my spirit wills to do, I find myself not doing it because I have found that I am a wretched man. So Paul said, I'm a man that can't even do what is right because my flesh. Let me tell you something. We all have flesh. Don't go pinching folks in the church. Pinch yourself. Pinch yourself. Go ahead. Did you feel it? That's your flesh. By nature, our flesh are bad. Okay, how old's your kids, brother? How old's these babies right here? The baby. What's the youngest one? Did you have to teach that baby to be bad? They just bad, right? Right? What about your grandbabies? That devil is a lie. I knew she was going to say that. No. Listen to me. We don't have to teach kids to be bad. They are. No. Don't get all spiritual on me because I know them. I've been around them. Trust me. Nina, I want cake for breakfast. And guess what she does? Okay, baby, let me get you the cake. Because you got to go back to your mom and dad. Right? So we don't have to teach kids to be bad. By nature, someone say, by nature, they're bad. We don't have to teach them, but what we have to teach them is to get that bad nature out of them and to have a respectful nature. And so we have to understand that the source of spiritual defeat is coming from already within us. The enemy will put stuff on us to act like that, but we are all born, watch this, we are all born with a sinful nature. Someone say, we are all born with a sinful nature. Don't go there, Benita. We are all born, watch this, with a sinful nature because we are all born of the flesh. That's why we need salvation through Jesus Christ, okay? Doesn't mean once you're saved, you're going to be perfect, okay? And I love our ministry and I love our church because we're not in the box of a church, okay? Someone called me the other day, and I happened to have one of my songs on. It wasn't a Christian song, it was a rap song. Old school rap, This Is the Way I Live. I don't know if you know that. This is the way I live. Big boy, come on, you know that song? Victor, I know you know it, okay? And I didn't turn it down. They said, Pastor, what are you listening to? I said, I'm listening to one of my old jams. What? Y'all, I grew up listening to rap. Sometimes I just like to, you know what I'm saying, Glow? Come on. Oh, my God, he's going to hell. No. It sometimes gets me energized. Come on, somebody. And then I go minister. What? Some people might disagree with that. But guess what? I need a pick-me-up sometime, okay? And doesn't mean that I'm giving way to that spirit. All it means is it makes me feel a little energized, okay? And then I go do the work of the Lord. See, sometimes churches try to be so judgmental instead of meeting people where they are at. Come on, somebody. That's what it's about. We are here, you know, someone asked me a question, a friend of mine asked me a question yesterday. And the scripture she asked me about was, there's a scripture that says that I have become all things to all men that I may win some to the Lord. Do you know what that means? That we might have to meet people where they are. Okay? The whole time I was friends with Victor, Elder Victor, at South Grand Prairie, did I even act like a pastor, Victor? Did I Bible thump you? Now, every Friday, see you Sunday, said it for I don't know how many years. But I never once judged Victor, never once talked bad about Victor, or never once talked about where he was in his life. And so the source of spiritual defeat, the enemy will use that, watch this church, against you to think that you're not going to make it. Here's the thing. Someone say, keep your eyes on Jesus, but yet win the world. Okay? Here's what I want to focus on. These next four things for just next 15 minutes, okay? Someone say, a personal race. Each one of us, here it is, has a personal race. Each one of us has to learn to walk our own race. We all have an opportunity to run our own race. We have to have a personal race. A personal race begins with reminding us that we can reach those that are closest to us. Okay? A personal race means that first of all, we got to get ourselves right with Jesus before we can get anybody else right. Okay? Some say it's a personal relationship with God. Okay? Personal race. A personal race means that you are to make sure that your life is in right with God. Not that you're perfect, but that you can say that you have a personal relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? Some say a personal race. And each person has their own race, What's going to work for Victor may not work for me. What's going to work for Glo may not work for her. What's going to work for Ron may not work for Eloise. But we all have a personal race that we all have to focus on. If we are not careful in our personal race, we will be distracted by things that will take us out of the presence of Almighty God. Okay? A personal race means that we have a relationship, watch this church, with Jesus Christ. Someone say a public race. What is a public race, Victor? Mm-hmm. Someone say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Victor's become, in the last several months, probably 6 months, he's become more open about his faith. More so ever, because some of the things he's been through. And so when you have a public race and you have this life, it's okay to, let me tell you something. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It just means that you have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? I mean, we sometimes in the church, watch this, we sometimes in the church, we have to look so holy and so perfect. But let me tell you something. There's not a pastor, there's not a Christian, there's not a church on earth that is perfect. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it's T.D. Jakes. I don't care if it's my spiritual father, Pastor Ricky Rush. I don't care if it was Pastor Greer when he was alive. Y'all don't even know this, okay? Every Sunday after church, guess where I took Pastor Greer? Anybody want to guess? To his brother's house in South Dallas. Yep. First time I started doing it, I said, where am I taking brother? Oh, you're going to take me to my brother's house. Why? Because, brother, they playing dominoes eating chicken. Every Sunday when I was riding at Pastor Greer before he went back to Ovilla, I would take him to South Dallas, and I would pull up there, and there's probably, man, 30 people out there playing dominoes, cooking barbecue, and he had me stay a couple times, and they were drinking 40s and all that. Not Pastor Greer. But I'd be like, he said, that's their life. It's not my life. But while I'm here, I'm going to show my light. And they loved it when Pastor Greer went over there. And then I started hanging out with them. Learned how to play dominoes. The right way. Amen? But his public, look at this. Pastor Greer's public race was he loved them where they were. And guess what? You were at Pastor Greer's funeral. How many people were there, brother? Man, at least over 500 people, right? And a lot of them wasn't even Christian or church-going people, but they came to show respect. Because Pastor Greer touched their lives where they were. So you have to have a public race. You have to be who you are in Christ publicly. Someone say faithful life. What does faithful life mean, Elder Ron? What do you think? Walking in faith. Listen to me. I personally, in my opinion, I would rather have somebody to my face tell me, I can't stand you, Pastor Mike. Then for them talk about me behind my back. Just be faithful in what you believe. Okay? Just someone say, be faithful in what you believe. Listen to me. We don't have to like each other, but we can learn to like each other. Come on, somebody. We all have a place in life that we have to remain faithful. Someone asked me, said, Pastor Mike, how are you doing hospice for 24 years? Because I'm faithful to that job. Amen. I've had some rough goes in hospice life. And I keep saying I'm going to give up these other PRNs to give to Ron. And every time I turn around, another direction goes. So hopefully soon I'll be able to do that. But y'all, I worked 66 hours last week and drove 400, almost 500 and something miles. Well, Victor does that every day. But that's a lot for me around the Metroplex. Doesn't come from. I made 42 visits last week. Ron, is that a lot? You do hospice. That's an awful lot, 42 visits. And time Friday afternoon came, I was spent. A lot of it helped this week because I had like four or five patients in one facility, so I could go and see everybody. But literally, I saw 42 people this week, plus did bereavement, plus did three IDGs. What did I do Thursday when you were at Tenderheart. And bereave me. Okay? And I'm just a machine. But I'm faithful. Watch this, church. I'm faithful at what God has called me to do because his reward is heavenly. Come on, somebody. I want for nothing, not because someone else has taken care of me, but because I'm faithful. When you're faithful, I want you to get this, church. When you're faithful to God, he's faithful to you. I'm going to say it again. When you're faithful to God, he's faithful to you. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or my seed. Someone say, or my seed begging for bread. Someone say, stay faithful and stay blessed. We run a race because we are focused on the task at hand. What's your name, brother? Damien, I know. What do you do for a living? Clean up? How long have you been doing that? You like it? If you don't like it, just tell me. It's cool, right? So why are you doing it? What do you got to have a job for? Take care of them babies, right? Right? Sometimes, guys, being faithful over the little, he'll promote you to more. Come on. Say, if I'm faithful over little, he'll make me rule over much. Okay? And I know it's hot in here. Once again, the air's not on again. I was, because I'm sweating like I'm preaching to millions. Amen? We're going to keep telling them we have no air. This is the fifth Sunday in a row we haven't had air. But we're going to be faithful. I'm going to put another request in. I need air in my church on Sunday. But someone say, it didn't stop us. Praising the Lord. Okay? If you remain faithful, church, over what he's called you to do, then God, come and say, God will bless you. We have to stay faithful. Someone say, keep your eyes on Jesus. And the last one, read that. Focus life. Do you know how easy it is to get distracted? Do you know how quick the enemy can distract you? It happened to me this morning. I woke up this morning in a good spirit, had been praying early this morning, came to intercession prayer. I was here praying intercession prayer from 9:30 to about 9:55, and I got up from intercession prayer. I'm looking around. Here comes Ron and Benita. They said, we saw your son walking down the street. I'm like, what? Because I was in here praying. So I called him. I said, what are you doing? I'm not going to church. Don't talk about it publicly. I'm going to tell you what happened to me this morning. I said, no, you're going to be in church. You're in my house. You're in church. That's one of the rules. You're in church. You live in my house. I don't care if you're 28 years old, 29 years old. You need to get on your own anyways. Right? I'm not going to church. And he said some things that made me mad, and he hung up on me. Did I get mad? Damien? I'm real, brother. Mad. The way you talk to me? Are you kidding me? And then the enemy right then and there wanted to get me upset. And he did. Elder Ron and Elder Vic took me out there to calm down and prayed for me. Mama went over and laid hands on me. Mama went over here and prayed for me. And the peace that passes all understanding came over me. Because the enemy was trying to distract me from my assignment. My God. The enemy was trying to distract me through one of my own to do what I got to do. He comes at the moment that you're supposed to do something for him. And he will use the closest person to you to try to mess you up. There's a lot of people watching on. I can't be talking about this. Listen to me. I got the same problems you got in your house. Being a pastor doesn't exempt me from mess. Matter of fact, it's magnified more. He's going to come after me the most. But I won't let this move me. Come on, somebody. Someone say, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. I got all my pit bulls praying. My dogs act up, but I'll guarantee you, I pray over them dogs. Amen. I just had a miracle happen in my life. Ben survived. And he's prospering. He's doing good. He's doing okay. Come on, somebody. When you're faithful, someone say, when you're faithful, God is faithful. And when you're focused, I want to close with this, church. When you're focused on the prize at hand, listen to me, the prize never changes. It gets further away from you as you fall back. Victor, how do you keep going? Because you see those signs. You might see, when you first start off, what do you see? Lubbock, 350 miles. Okay? And you're like, oof. Then you might see another sign, Lubbock, 260 miles. And he's focused. He might go another 30 miles. Lubbock, 230 miles. It's getting close to his destination. And what keeps us going is he knows when he gets that load delivered, there's going to be some money at the end of that delivery. That's his prize. That's his focus. His focus is getting that load safe to that destination so he can get loaded up and take another destination. Okay? He has to stay focused on what he has to do because guess what? There's someone back in Grand Prairie watching the checkbook. And there's some bills that have to be paid. Look at all them grandchildren he got. Man, that brother's got to take some more loads before Christmas is coming. Amen. Focus life. When you have a focused life, then God is going to get you to your destination. And guess what? Having a focused life, church, and I'm going to close with this, doesn't mean that you're not going to run into some things. Having a focused life doesn't mean that you're not going to have some challenges. Having a focused life, meaning that when the challenges does come, you're still focused on the one who's going to get you there. Come on, somebody. You're still focused on what the ultimate prize is. And the ultimate prize is this, that God is going to take care of you. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured what? The cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's saying, here's what he's saying, church. He's saying that Jesus didn't quit on us. So if Jesus didn't quit on us, why do we quit on him? If we were to focus on the things that God has for us, and what God has to do for us, we could win this war. See, I want to share something with you before I close, guys. The war is fixed. It's a fixed fight. In the end, we win. In the end, we win. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world. We're seeing a lot of people talk about the book of Revelations and the end is coming with the wars and the coronavirus and all this stuff. And but Jesus told us, he said, the end is not yet. Be encouraged. I've overcome the world. You see, there's going to come a time when Jesus will return. I believe that with all my heart, Eloise. I don't know if you believe that or not, Victor, but I believe that he's coming back. And he's going to split that eastern sky. And I believe what it says in the word, that those of us that which remain shall be caught up and meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I don't know if it's going to be 15 years. I'm not one to worry about when it is. I'm just one to worry about if I'm ready. If I'm ready. And if you're ready. Because my job is not only to make sure I'm ready, but my job is to make sure that you're ready for the coming of the Lord. Last point is this. I want to close with this. Jesus himself endured everything for us so that we might have the victory. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, and then when we get ourselves off of Jesus, it's when we lose focus on the task at hand. Jesus told Peter to walk to him on the water. He said, if it's you, Lord, I bid you to come to me. Peter stepped out the boat, started walking on water, got halfway to Jesus, and he started sinking. You see, the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus and his circumstances is when he starts sinking. Your circumstances should not be above you. They should be below you. Let me say it again. Say, my circumstances should be below me, not above me. He looked down and he said, oh my, I'm walking on water. And the reality set in that I shouldn't be walking on water. So now he focused on what he was doing instead who was bringing him to him. Listen, you're going to have problems. You're going to have kids acting up. You're going to have marriages acting up. You're going to have a boss that don't like you. Come on, somebody. You're going to have people who talk bad about you. You're going to have all these things in your life. But it doesn't mean you need to lose focus. What it means is you need to keep your eyes on Jesus and towards the prize. Because guess what? The most important thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The most important thing is not when you finish the race. It means just finish the race. You see, we all have a time of arriving to where God has us. If we will focus, watch this, church, if we will keep our eyes on Jesus and focus on the task at hand, someone's saying this too shall pass. I know God has great things for this church. And this past year and a half for me, well, 2 years, right, Glo? Has been one that I can't even write. But I had an encounter the other day with a friend. And they spoke into me and they said, you know, Pastor Mike, the Lord told me to tell you that you're on the backside of your mess. In other words, I went through the valley of the shadow of death. I went through the fire. I feel like Eloise, I've been through the lion's den. I've been like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God has turned the fire up 70 times 70. But through it all, Jesus was there. And I know God has something great for every person here this morning. And I know God is saying in my spirit, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel just yet. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to share a very personal story that happened to me this past week. I went and seen somebody, one of my patients. I won't mention names for HIPAA reasons. I walked in, and this was a broken individual. I said, I'm Pastor Mike from da-da-da-da-da, and just wanted to come by. I'm going to be your chaplain checking on you. And this individual asked me one question. Ron's probably had this question before. If God loves me so much, why am I dying? That's what they asked me. This is a believer now. This person that was an elder in the church and a deacon in the church. He goes, if God loves me so much, why am I going through this now? And I looked at him and I said, your present suffering does not compare to the glory that will be revealed when God. I said, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Everybody has a time expiration. Everything in life, church, has a time stamp. If you go buy some groceries today and you buy some milk, that milk's going to expire. That lunch meat's going to expire. When you lose a pet, that their time's expired. When you lose a mom or a dad, their time's expired. We lost 3 elders in this church. Their time's expired. So I told this individual, I said, don't look at it that your life is ending. I said, look at your life as beginning. Because when you close your eyes to this life, he has such another great life for you. Come on, somebody. You see, I'm not living to die. I'm living to live. Come on, somebody. I am living to live. Every day of my life, I'm going to live life to the fullest. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to travel. I'm going to give God some glory. And guess what? When I leave this world, people are going to say one thing about Pastor Mike. He was loud, crazy, out of the box. But put this on my gravestone. At least he lived. Come on, somebody. When you go to bed at night, can you say to yourself, I have lived. I've had a good day. Come on, somebody. Can you go to bed at night to say, I've had a good day? Because all the stuff in life doesn't matter. When you, Victor talked about it this morning when he was up here welcoming, he said there's a dash. The day you were born and the day you die. That dash in between has not what God gives you, it's what you give yourself. What will they say about you between the time you were born and the time? The dash is what you determine. Come on, that's a good word, somebody. When I leave this world, I want my dash to say, he lived. Life to the fullest. And even though I've been going through, they can say, let me tell you something. When I'm out of this world and y'all are talking about me, I want y'all to talk about good things. Remember how crazy Pastor Mike was? I can hear him now. Right? Pastor Ricky Rush, my spiritual mentor. I did a couple funerals with him over the past couple of years. And he said it best, church. He said, what will they say about you when you're gone? You see, we're all on a journey. All of our journey is going to end up in the same place. How we get there is our story. Do me a favor today. Start writing your story. Say, Pastor Mike, I haven't started yet. Well, guess what? It starts with chapter one. Because what you do from this chapter will determine what God wants to do for you. Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, all those multi-billionaires in the world, they weren't born rich. Amen, Damien? Jeff Bezos was a college student. Wasn't making no money. Struggling to pay his college bill. Sat in the dorm and said, we got to find a way to get these kids these books. Listen to what I'm telling you. Amazon started in a college dormitory. He came up with a way to get people to buy books online. Anybody knew that story? Did you know about that, Glow? You know about that, Elder Ron? He started Amazon in his college dormitory, putting the college books on there, and instead of people going to get the books, they would order it, and then he would hand deliver the books to their dorm. That's how Amazon started. Facebook, multi-billion-dollar company, started with one man. Wouldn't it be cool if people can get on this thing and find out what other people are doing in their lives? There's not a person in here that don't know Facebook or Twitter or TikTok. I don't do any of that, so I don't know, but I think it's kind of cool to watch some of the videos, right? Guys, a dream starts with a dream. A dream starts with knowing that I'm going to do it. And if I stay focused, let me tell you, there's nothing that God won't bless if he's not in it. Your life starts today. Will you stay focused on Jesus? Someone say, I will stay focused on Jesus. Come on, Elder Ron. Come on, Elder Vic. If you need prayer this morning, and you need some prayer for strength today, and there's some things that you're going through, Elder Rick and Elder Ron are going to be up there this morning. Maybe you need to pray for a church member. Maybe you need to pray for a family member. Whatever it is, they're going to pray for you before we leave.